I recall one night in Bolivia that was beautiful, but then turned out to be, in a real way, very stark. I was walking down this little dirt road that goes from the highway, the main highway, down to where I teach at this school, kind of the compound of that school, and there's a gravel lane that goes down to that school, and it's lined by these big trees, and it was a beautiful night. It was in November, which is moving into summertime in Bolivia, and all these fireflies were out among the tree branches, and then also they have fire beetles, kind of iridescent beetles there as well, kind of on the tree trunks, and it was just a very beautiful moment walking down this lane. But as I walked down it, I was processing that, you know, just a few days before I had been involved in a very catastrophic bus accident where several people had died, and in many ways it was a wonder that I hadn't been one of them as well. And as I was walking down this lane in this kind of nocturnal beauty, it just really sunk into me very deeply and in a new way that someday I'm going to die. Someday my life will come to an end. That all my plans, all of my projects, that in many ways they're temporary. They don't last forever. And in a real way, I am not in total control. That reality really sunk in that, yes, that for most humans, we have this experience eventually, the shadow of the grave, and most of human history is marked by this fatalism of the ultimate futility of what human life is, seeming to simply end in the tomb. Have you ever thought about that? That you will have a tomb someday. I will be in a tomb someday. The tomb is where human hope and human power fails. But the empty tomb is where the wisdom and power of the Lord God is manifested. There is something that has been opened up for us. Israel had a glimmer of a new kind of hope about this. They had seen the Lord's faithfulness throughout their generations, how he had guided them as a nation, and in many ways as a nation, seemingly raised them from the dead, from being slaves in Egypt, from being exiled in Babylon, in these many different ways that their nation had been raised up again, seemingly back to life after having been lost. And so this prophetic hope arose that our Lord, who has been so faithful in all these ways, maybe he will even save his covenant people and the individuals from the tomb, from an end simply in a grave. And so this hope started to emerge in little ways. Psalm 16 expresses it beautifully. My heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. Moreover, my flesh will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One see corruption. This hope was starting to be growing in the Holy Spirit among Israel. But how would this actually ever come about? Well, we see that. We celebrate that this very day, that God fulfills this hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus, as Peter says in our first reading, is the Messiah, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he was raised on the third day. After going to his tomb, like all of us will as well, he was raised from it. And now there is this empty tomb. And Peter, in preaching to Cornelius the centurion in our first reading, shows that this is something that is offered to all people. Your tomb will someday be empty. Your grave, you will leave. What a relief. As our psalm says, let us rejoice and be glad. Futility is not our lot. Instead, Jesus, as he says in the Gospel of John, he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? to receive that gift from Christ. How does Jesus empty our tomb? How does this come about? There are really two main things that Jesus does. He takes something bad away and gives us something infinitely good. He takes away the doom of the old life that always just ends in the tomb. It goes nowhere else. And instead, he gives us the beginning of a new life. Our catechism describes it in a beautiful, succinct way. It says, the Paschal mystery, that is the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ, this Paschal mystery, this Paschal event, it has two aspects. By his death, Christ liberates us from sin and all that falls out from that, including the grave. By his resurrection, he opens for us the way to a new life. A way to a new life. And this new life is gained through a spiritual contact with the risen Lord. A spiritual contact, a connection with the risen Lord. He has won this for us in the great Paschal mystery, but then it's extended to us through being in touch with our risen Lord. And we're in touch with him through faith and the sacraments of faith. St. Paul, writing to the Romans, he says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so just last night, in celebrating baptism and confirmation and giving people their first Holy Communion, it was such a beautiful moment of faith, and sacraments in our lives are those privileged moments of belief and of encounter with the risen Lord. And so someday, believers will be bodily raised to the resurrection of the life through Jesus, who is the firstborn of the dead. And what is the church? In a real way, the church is this gathering of all of those who have had this spiritual contact with the risen Lord. Those both alive now and those who have preceded us and are resting, waiting for this resurrection. And we await the hope of being raised on the last day. For now, it is Jesus. He has led the way, the firstborn. He has been raised from the dead into not just simply more of this life, but into resurrected life. And we are being prepared to follow. As Pope Benedict once said, Jesus' resurrection is the smallest mustard seed of history. He has been raised, but through him we have the offer for all of us to be raised as well. And so our beautiful psalm today says, this is the day the Lord has made. It is like a new creation. Something new is being accomplished here. So let us rejoice and be glad. You know, eternal life is not only meant for that time beyond the grave, but it is meant to begin here and now and is offered to have a real difference and impact in our lives. And so I think of the classic Christian virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and we can let these be strengthened and illuminated by the reality of the resurrection. Faith, first of all, in believing in what God has accomplished. This helps me order my life to the new and true horizon of my existence, which again is not the grave, not the tomb, but this offer of eternal life. Pope Francis in The Joy of the Gospel has this to say about that and letting that joy overtake us. He says, there are Christians whose lives seem like Lent without Easter. I realize, of course, that joy is not expressed the same way at all times in life, especially at moments of great difficulty. Joy adapts and changes, but it always endures, even as a flicker of light born of our personal certainty that when everything is said and done, we are infinitely loved. I understand the grief of people who have to endure great suffering. Yet slowly but surely, we all have to let the joy of faith slowly revive as a quiet yet firm trust. in the light of the resurrection, help strengthen that trust. And then hope. The light of the resurrection can help us in hope when we are confronted with death. The death of this life, but also those many small deaths that can happen in the middle of our life that can bog us down in fear. Fear around reputation, achievement, possessions, earthly happiness, illness, family strife. All of these many different small deaths that can confront us, the resurrection gives us hope in the midst of them. I think especially during this Easter season. You know, Easter season is 50 days long, and Lent is 40 days. Now, it seems like Lent gets a lot more press, a lot more attention. Maybe it's because we know, like, it's a lot easier maybe to focus on what I'm not doing well, and I want to be better at this, and I want to be free of this and that. And so we put a lot of focus on that. But it's really just preparation for prime time, which is the Easter season, which is living in this joy and this hope, these 50 days, and letting that really sink in a powerful way. St. Athanasius, a great saint of the early church, described Easter and the 50 days as one great Sunday into which we enter. And so in hope then, we can submit our fears, our sorrows, our apprehensions, our diminished hopes to the greater reality of the resurrection. Think of Simon Peter's journey himself. Wasn't it just on Friday, Good Friday, as well as Palm Sunday, meditating on the Passion of the Lord? Well, what's Peter's role in that? You know, a little bravado at the front, and then rank cowardice in the end, denying Jesus three times, running off in disgrace. And yet, in our first reading today, we have Peter speaking not only to fellow Jews, but to a Roman centurion and his household about Jesus Christ, about how Jesus is the offering of salvation given to him with incredible boldness and clarity. What happened between those two moments? The resurrection, meeting the risen Lord, being restored in love and in hope by the risen Lord. And that can be our journey as well. And then charity, this great love for God. First of all, rejoicing in how good He is, simply, full stop, how good He is. And then how good He has been to us. And all that our Lord has undergone, all that He offers to us, and to just rest in that. How Pope Francis said that we are infinitely loved, and to give thanksgiving for that. Easter is, I think, a time uniquely open to that spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. And then letting that love overflow to others, sharing the good news of the empty tomb, that tomb once so foreboding, now conquered by Christ. And then in that charity, being open to encountering the risen Lord, especially in this time. You know, if you go into our gospel, right after this passage, it's kind of the mystery of the empty tomb that the beloved disciple, that Mary, that Peter encounter. Well, right after this, the very next verses in that Mary still staying right by the tomb, what happens? She encounters the risen Lord. A beautiful moment of meeting Christ. And I think that's something that we can all be open to and ask for in this time of Easter. My brothers and sisters, the tomb is where human power and hope in human power fails. But the empty tomb is where the wisdom and the power of our Lord God is made manifest. Christ is risen. Indeed, He is risen.